rose the city of Dallas, Texas, jewel of the Southwest. This is Coast to Coast AM. My name is John B. Wells, and I am honored to sit in tonight for the vacationing George Norrie as we gather in the global living room, den, and study for a few hours. And I'm telling you, I'm such a fan of the show that it's really a rarefied air that I'm sitting in now. And to George Norrie, I have only one word, and that word is respect. Are you sitting comfortably? Well, then let's begin. Typically at this particular time, there'll be the news of the day. So here's a little news of the day. Fasten your seatbelt. A little of this is a little bumpy. There was a plane lost off Miami Beach. Appears to be a charter on its way to the islands. All on board were lost. Federal investigators probe high-tech explosives theft in New Mexico. Iranian president bans Western music. 50 Cent will be beside himself. Researchers indicate Barbie is often mutilated at the hands of young girls, and Saddam has a newspaper interview coming up. President Bush has said the spying leak is shameful. Senator accused the New York Times of endangering the U.S. altogether. And Bill Clinton makes a video for Elton John Nupps. Elton is looking forward to married life. Well, we wish him the best. Good luck with that. There are a lot of screens up as we're barely a week away from Christmas. And the stress is upon us. So that's why I went through the news a little bit quickly, because we have a lot of screens up, don't we? This is one that's it's a couple of weeks old almost, but this is about Paul Hellyer, the one-time cabinet minister and political chameleon. According to this thing I'm reading here, he went through liberal and Tory colors before founding two political parties on his own. He has a new cause, UFOs. Mr. Hellyer wants to get everybody in the political arena, especially, to come to the round table in furtherance of a conference so that we may reason together and avoid a potentially devastating intergalactic war with the UFO people. Now, my question is, if they don't want to talk, what do you do about it? I mean, it's not like you can hold a gun to their heads, and even if you could, I mean, what kind would it be? So the times, they are changing. Once upon a time, you could spot the Canadian man on board the UFO. He was the one looking around like he'd never seen one before, but things are changing. So the stress is upon us, and incidentally, all these wonderful emails have come in welcoming me to the show and wishing me well on it. But I got to tell you, the deck is stacked a little bit, because tonight we have a couple of delightful guests. Dr. Gabriel Cousins in the first hour, and in the second hour, Dr. Bruce Lipton. Both of them are known to many of you. And for those of you who are not familiar with them, you will be shortly, and they are well worth listening to. They are visionaries. We'll get to that. About the stress, on the way to the studio, we stopped by the convenience store to, gather up some waters and some little things to snack on during the breaks to keep the energy levels up. And I thought it was noteworthy that the lady at the counter said, "Happy holidays." Now, this is another source of stress for some people. Here, everyone is running around trying to get it all done, trying to make sure everyone's happy, no one's disappointed. Various motivations for this. True love, an expression in a materialistic form of their feeling. Trying not to let the kids down. Trying not to let themselves down. The lady said, "Happy holidays." I said, "Ah, Merry Christmas." She said, "I can't say that." And I thought, You know, there is a little sadistic reptilian side to me that occasionally tries to rear its head, although self-control frequently gets the better of it. But I was tempted to go to a store in the mall somewhere and get about $10,000 worth of stuff, bring it up to the counter and say, Merry Christmas. And if they came back with Happy Holidays, I would say, I'll tell you what, I've changed my mind. I think I'll see you at the 50% off after Christmas sale. Besides, your bloody RFID tags interfere with my wireless Christmas light display, and they don't blink at the right times. Does that mean? That's how we could deal with that. Anyway, the stress, the job, the money, the traffic. I tell my children, when you're in traffic, they're young. Not that young, but young, they're teenagers. When you're in traffic, do not be drawn into the stress of others. You don't know what they're going through. The person who's driving not in accordance with the way you would have them drive may be sick, may be scared to death to drive at all, may be scared of the car. He could have just been fired, on the verge of a divorce, on his way to the hospital, hoping for the best and fearing the worst. So leave him alone. Let him go. Be gentle. Well, tonight, for our first hour, we have Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who will reveal to us the sources of much of the stress. And it is well worth listening to because, frankly, his research has led him into vast healing techniques that are helping people in dramatic and profound ways. He will expose a problem, which is in fact of an epidemic proportion, the effects of which are accelerating rapidly. He will explain what's happening to so many of us and show us a way out. There is light at the end of this tunnel, which will illuminate your mind like a bolt from the blue. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, MD, is the founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation. He is a holistic medical doctor. He is a psychiatrist and a family therapist and a licensed homeopathic physician. Dr. Cousins received his MD degree from Columbia Medical School in 1969 and completed his psychiatry residency in 73. He is also in the National Football Hall of Fame as the captain linebacker of his undefeated college team. He was the chief mental health consultant for the Sonoma County Operation Head Start and a consultant for the California State Department of Mental Health. Dr. Cousins has published many articles in health journals and popular magazines in the areas of biochemistry, school health, clinical pharmacology, hyperglycemia, and Alzheimer's disease. And tonight, he's going to explain to us where this stress is coming from and much, much more. Welcome, Dr. Cousins.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. I'm very pleased to be on the show. It really is what we're talking about is the anatomy of the mental illness epidemic. We think we're doing better, but we're actually doing a whole lot worse. To be specific, we're talking about 40 million people who are subclinically depressed. Around 12 million people who are clinically depressed. We're talking about 6 million Americans who are disabled by mental illness. We're talking about in 1850, as compared to now, there's a 100-fold increase in the amount of mentally disabled people. We're talking about a 4-fold increase since Thorazine was introduced in 1955, and what we're saying is things are not getting better, they're getting worse. And now we have to ask the real question is, why are they getting worse? And to do that, I want to step back for a second and give you a larger overview, which is it's a play between our personal lifestyles and value systems and our planetary lifestyle. Now, what do I mean? There are three, I'm going to say, really three key factors in this. One is nutrition. One is our value system that says better living through chemistry instead of better living through better living. And the third is the tremendous amount of environmental toxicity that we take on that I believe is greatly affecting our mental state.
Well, it's everywhere. It's in everything. Yeah. Everything we eat, the water and the air.
Yeah. To be specific, we dump about 4 billion pounds of toxic chemicals into the environment. 72 million of them are carcinogenic. In the adult human, they're finding an average of 167 compounds. And 76 are known to cause cancer, and 94 are toxic to the nervous system or brain. In other words, are associated with perhaps mental problems. It's worse when we get to children, unfortunately. In the umbilical cord, according to the Red Cross, of babies, umbilical cord, it's like when they're born with, there's max of 287 chemicals. 180 are known to cause cancer, and 217 are toxic to the brain and nervous system. That is a very difficult way to start your life. And actually, part of my work and what I'm sharing with you is really how to develop a detoxification system that we can help pre-pregnant mothers and pre-pregnant fathers bring non-toxic babies into the world so they will not be participating in this epidemic. So a little bit later in the show, I'll be talking very specifically about a very, very exciting and very simple breakthrough. It's only 800 years old that we can now use. It can make a very big difference. I also want to point out as much as 25% of Americans are suffering from some degree of heavy metal poisoning, which keeps the brain, of course, from working at its optimal. Well, we're going to come back to that. That's our planetary lifestyle. I want to go back to something that I think will give us a very important insight, and that's the nutritional part. When we began to shift from a natural diet into a more synthetic diet, a more fast food diet, high sugar diet, some very wise people did some studies. Dr. Price studied 14 different cultures, and he found some very important pieces that will give us a real insight into what's happening today. Into the epidemic that's happening today. And he found that in all 14 cultures, when they switched to the fast food, white sugar diet, 4 major trends appeared. One was that their nutrition was about 1/4 to 1/6 as the natural diet they were on. 2, decrease in immune system function. 3, changes in the physical structure and chest structure and head structure and jaw structure and brain and skull structure that seemed to be linked, which he later was to prove, with changes in the mental state of the people. And the fourth was with progressive children, there was more and more congenital defects. Like Down syndrome, for example, is a congenital defect. Now, what's the significance of that is a partner of his, Dr. Pottinger, did a cat study where they were put on a junk food diet. Actually, it was a cooked food diet, which is junk food for cats. In 3 generations, they had degenerated so that cats who normally don't have allergies, 100% of them had allergies. The cats began to act aberrantly emotionally. Instead of purring, they attacked. Clawed each other and clawed anyone who was near them, not too different than what we see today. It took 8 generations for rats to have the same problem on a junk food diet, and they became violent, irritable, and difficult to get along with. I don't know how I guess it has to do with how they got along with each other. So we're not talking about human rats. But what we're talking about And this is the key. This is a quote from Abram Hoffer, who was the father of orthomolecular psychiatry, which is really what we're talking about. He said, recent intergenerational research has shown that on a uniformly poor diet, the offspring of each generation deteriorate more and more. He says, we don't know in humans, but the increase in violence, drug addiction, hyperactivity, dyslexia, and depression may be a manifestation of that. And when we understand that principle, we understand how important it is, the role of diet in mental health, because what we're saying is we're actually creating a weakened protoplasm, and the result of that is it downgrades what we're going to call the genetic expression. So what I find in my work as a psychiatrist is when people come to me and their parents have had hyperactivity, depression, manic depression, psychosis, they're more likely to be in that trend.
You mean the trend of poor nutrition?
Poor nutrition, also more mental tendency for mental problems.
Because
their heredity and the poor nutrition and health of their parents.
Well, in opening, you stated that we're all suffering a little, or there's a lot of it out there.
Right. And now, we're talking widespread problems here. But what I'm saying is it's more intense when the parents, the previous generation, have already started to degenerate.
Well, how did this happen anyway? I can remember when the first drive-through burger stop arrived. The kids just went mad for it, and it's fast, it's great. I mean, was this convenience? And in other words, how long is this nutritional? There was a study published. It was commissioned by Congress. They said the soil's depleted, and we're not getting the nutrients from it, and so forth. But I mean, has it just increased like logarithmically to where it's just?
Yes.
I mean, how is anybody hanging in here? I guess what I'm asking, doctor, is how is anybody hanging in here at all, nutritionally, given how much it must have deteriorated since the 30s?
Yeah, I would say that we're given a certain amount of life force and it's working, but it's not working so well. We have an epidemic of hyperactivity. We have an epidemic of depression. 40 million people depressed is an epidemic, and we're 100 times more people being mentally disabled than 150 years ago. That's a big statement. And that's not just in the U.S. It's also in England.
So, in fact, when we are driving around in traffic and we are witnessing these road rages, we are, in fact, you mentioned subclinical depression.
Yeah.
We're actually viewing that on our roads in these public places where we see, why are these people wearing these expressions? What's up?
Yes.
In other words, a lot of this is absolutely undocumented, at-large mental illness.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. So nutrition plays a big role. Environmental pollution plays a big role. And there's a third factor which I want to share, which most people are not aware of, and it's quite serious. It's actually the medications people are using to treat it. The antipsychotics and antidepressants that are currently being used are directly linked to this degeneration. That's quite a statement, which is quite well backed up by all the research at the highest levels, like the National Institute of Mental Health. The basic research has shown one thing. Psychiatric drugs, antidepressants, the SSRIs, Prozac-type drugs, perturb the normal function of the brain and why it suppresses symptoms for a very short time. Okay, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, the long-term use increases the likelihood that a person will become chronically ill. In other words, our drug-based paradigm is fueling this modern-day plague. And I'd like to give some research because it's such an unbelievable statement that it's like, is this really true?
You know, what really grabs me about this, Dr. Cousins, is that Prozac, for example, I don't think it's escaped anyone's notice that there have been so many instances of persons either committing suicide or killing others and then committing suicide that for some time now people have been making jokes about Prozac.
Yeah. Well, one of the people I studied with, Jonathan Coles, who had been head of the NIMH Department of Psychopharmacology, actually went before the FDA showing that the increase of suicidability was three times greater on SSRIs, which are Prozac-like drugs. Now, that's
we'll be back
important.
With Dr. Cousins in just a minute. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Coast AM. Well, between the toxins in the air, well, there's nothing wrong except the planet that we've polluted, and the air that we're breathing, the water that we're drinking, and the medicine that the doctors are giving us. So let it roll. We're with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and he's explaining the problem, the solution, and I hope an answer.
We do have an answer. I'm going to just sum up a little bit more of the problem with the medications, and I'm going to use a very powerful quote by the head in 1996 by Dr. Stephen Hyman, who's the director of the National Institute of Mental Health. He simply said, antipsychotic, antidepressant, and anti-anxiety drugs create perturbations in the neurotransmitter function. And in response to the drugs, the brain compensates. That's the key, because in that compensation, the brain gets more out of balance and then becomes more sensitive to the environment. The result is there's a great increase in relapses, and there's a great, once a person starts in this path, they get sicker and sicker. And that data is extremely well documented by NIMH studies. This is like not really even a question anymore, yet we're still doing this kind of stuff. And mania, as you talked about, and suicidability is a big piece. As Dr. Fava, Italian researcher, said, antidepressant-induced mania is not simply a temporary-induced phenomena, but a complex biochemical mechanism of illness deterioration. What he's saying, and this is amazing to think about, and this is research done at Yale University about the mania you asked, about 8% of all the hospitalizations they studied were induced by Prozac-like drugs. That's mania and psychosis. And when you count that up, nationwide, that's about 860,000 people, okay? So then they get depressed, then they get the SSRIs, and that causes increased recurrence, relapse, and intensity of symptoms. And then they go to the psychosis, that's, 860,000 people. Then they get diagnosed as, manic depressive. Then they get put on antipsychotic drugs. And let me just tell you that magnetic resonance studies have shown that the antipsychotic drugs, and I think it's also true for the SSRIs, but that hasn't been established yet entirely, but they have the same kind of symptoms. They cause brain changes, a shrinking of the cortex of the brain, and an enlargement of the basal ganglion, which we believe is associated with many of the problems that we see in the SSRIs, such as akathisia, which is one of the causes of the suicidability. We just need to know that these are SSRIs are actually stimulants, and that's why you get a little bit of a mood elevated in the short term. Okay.
Well, Doctor, in furtherance of not alarming, but just making people aware of this, how far, is there any hard data on how far out, in other words, how long can you take these things before you begin to, it sounds like 1 year. It sounds like after about a year, you've got some problems.
Shorter than that. With some of the antidepressants, we're talking 6 to 8 weeks, you get results, and then after that, it all goes downhill with anti-anxieties, antidepressants. And at the end of the year, the people who are psychotic, the people with depression, and the people with anti-anxiety, all of them have more relapse and worse symptoms.
And where are they after 2 years?
Worse.
Well, just worse still. Well, is any of this reversible then?
Yeah, and that's my work. That's the work we've been doing in the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center. I'm going to just cite one more study to give you an idea of what I mean by the difference. The people in the underdeveloped countries, maybe only 16% of them, this is a World Health Organization study, 16% of them got antipsychotic drugs, and two-thirds of them were fine 2 and 5 years later. In the U.S., 61% got antipsychotics, one-third was okay 2 to 5 years later, and two-thirds became chronically ill. So we're talking real problems here.
Why are these drugs being prescribed in such voluminous quantities?
I think it's ignorance. You know, the rate, the jump a few years ago was 500 million spent on drugs in 1987. And now it's 20 billion. It's huge. It's beyond belief. And it's a 40-time increase is what it is in a pretty short time. I just don't think people are thinking, because it's a value system. And what we're doing at the Tree of Life is taking people off drugs and really rehealing their brain so it begins to function again. And that's the key of my book called Depression Free for Life, is how to heal the biologically altered brain. I talk about it in another book called Conscious Eating in detail, but the Depression Free for Life, which where we're getting 90% results, okay, with this approach, results meaning people being healed of depression, and 80% with manic depression, and psychosis is maybe 70% with a certain group.
Dr. Cousins, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, so the point is that our approach is, instead of further altering the brain so it compensates more and more and gets more sensitive and more erratic, we turn it around and start to heal it. And the first step in that healing is dealing with the toxic load. And that means heavy metals, pesticides, herbicides, and things like that. And I came across in my work to prepare mothers for pregnancy an incredible natural substance, which is called natural cellular defense. It's been used for over 800 years in Asian countries, 30 years in the U.S. with animals, and over 13 years with humans. And I'm going to call it an alchemical gift from the divine. It's when the lava, they make zeolites, and that's what we're talking about. When the lava hits the ocean, and that merges the air, earth, water, and fire, it makes zeolites. And these have an incredible ability to do several things. They pull out the heavy metals, particularly lead, mercury, and cadmium. And just in that process alone, in taking this, people are beginning to have these reports of sense of well-being, depression lifts, a sense of a general happiness and clarity of mind. And then, funny enough, they found that it also increases serotonin, which was quite interesting to me, and also it seems one study showed it actually helps treat depression. Now, that's just one part. Then, even better things. They just completed a study with 65 people, and this is really mind-blowing, 65 people sent home to die with from all different kinds of cancer. 51 of them, that's 78%, 1 year later, which is significant, are now cancer-free and total remission. And all they did is take 15 drops four times a day. I mean, this is unbelievable.
And it really is. And the thing is this is where we are now. In other words, we can't really avoid this because we cannot instantaneously clean our air. We cannot instantaneously purify our foods except on a day-by-day basis. So I guess the bigger question is, as you heal people who are injured from these things, do you have any ideas on how this can be prevented in the future? And I wonder how many decades we're out from that.
We're not like the rats in, I'm going to say, the cat studies. It took four generations to heal. It seems that people can do this in somewhere a few weeks to 2 years, and it's really exciting. I mean, another little piece I want to mention is this, it's just amazing. Natural cellular defense blocks viral replication. We already have about 40 healed cases per disaster. It seems to be good for colds and flus. I mean, obviously, it's for the bird flu thing that people are concerned about. It seems to help with hepatitis C. That's one thing. It pulls out radioactive cesium and strontium 90.
Cesium and strontium 90. It pulls it out. That's pretty remarkable. And you know, this bird flu thing is concerned. I don't want to be the one to say that this is not something that should having but attention paid to it.
But, yeah, I don't know if it's true, but we still have colds and flus. And,
well, you know, 100 people out of over a billion, that sounds like a fairly...
not much.
That's a little percentage. I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? We'll want to give out your website address where they can find out more about this. Before we do that break, would you just quickly clarify one thing for me? It seems today in communicating between people, we have so many images hitting us all the time. And we have so many words flying around all the time, as I said earlier, an expression I like to use, so many screens up like a television control room, all this stimuli coming in at all times. Would you just please give a quick layman's definition of depression so that we'll know?
Okay. Just to make a point, to be diagnosed as clinical depression, you have to be depressed for 2 weeks. You have to have depressed mood, and then you also need to have four other symptoms. That is suicidability, it is depressed mood, retardation, lack of interest in things. Those are some of the key things. And literally, in our lifetime as human is adults from 18 to 54, over half the people in the United States have had those symptoms for 2 weeks. So that's a pretty good sense. The depressed mood, lack of interest in the world, decreased
motivation,
psychomotor retardation,
right?
Or those are all symptoms of what we're talking about.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a little quick break because we need to take them. We've got about 15 minutes left, maybe a little less. And when we come back, give us some advice that we can really hold on to for the rest of the night. Because I'll tell you, the hour has gone very quick. And we'll talk again at some point, I feel sure. But let's take our break now and have that advice standing by when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm John Wells. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left, so hit us with everything you got, including your website address.
Okay, let's start with the telephone number so you can reach us. 866-394-2520, 866-394-2520, and particularly to get the natural cellular defense, which is my first step in the treatment program, 888-314-7982. I'll say it again, 888-314-7982. 7982, and our website is www.treeoflife.nu, as in New University, N-U. And, okay, so once we've cleared the toxins, like with the natural cellular defense, which is really key, and of course you got all the other things, the prevention of cancer and so forth, and treatment of cancer, added extras, then we look at the diseases. Key here is that people do not suffer from a Prozac deficiency. Okay?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like the brain doesn't need Prozac to function. It needs proper nutrition, proper vitamins and minerals to make the cells work right. It needs the proper omega-3 fatty acids. It's a long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. They make the neurological system work, you know, way better in terms of upgrading the neurotransmitter function and so forth. Four is proper pH, and that's one thing that happens with the natural cellular defense. Believe it or not, it balances the pH close to the optimal pH, which is 7.46. 7.46, the brain cells work at their optimum. Dr. Watson showed in the 50s that if people got too acid, they could have depression, paranoia, anxiety, stupor, and so forth, and psychosis. And if they get too alkaline, you can get similar things, but not as bad if you get acid. So you need to be somewhat slightly alkaline. Now, that covers a whole range. The other thing that I do is, at the Tree of Life here, is we build up your ability to make neurotransmitters. And that's really, really key, because through stress, through the pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals, the neurological system just is not able to function and make what it needs to really be to function at its highest level. In that process, and I'm going to add one more thing, we call it lifestyle, and we focus on a lot of things here in terms of lifestyle. One is adequate sleep, believe it or not. There's 100 million people in the U.S. who do not get adequate sleep, and the research shows that those who do not get adequate sleep have a 40-time greater incidence of getting depressed.
Well, you know, some people say, well, it's 8:30 a.m. It's practically lunchtime. What are you, a lie abed? Why are you sleeping half your life away? How much do we really need?
Somewhere between 7 and 8 hours, depending on the person.
8 hours. That's just how it is, yeah?
Yeah. And then what we add with lifestyle is exercise. Exercise increases the endorphins. And one of the really good exercises, you know, could be jogging, it could be yoga. Breathing calms the mind. Meditation. The research shows that meditators and also people who have some sort of spiritual life, it doesn't really matter what, are twice as happy. Good relationships are important. 40% of married couples are happy. 1 out of 8 people who are divorced is happy. That's a big difference there. Creative expression, doing the right livelihood, doing the work that has meaning for you, feeling love in your life, and also some sort of touch in your life is important, and laughter is important. Laughter increases the endorphins. And then finally, most important, is a diet that is natural and whole. The diet we find is best is one that is going to be vegan, and that's without meat, fish, chicken, or dairy, and that seems to really up the neurotransmitter function.
Very quickly, I don't want to cut you off, but very quickly, you had mentioned when we chatted earlier about meat making symptoms worse in some patients. Can you quickly elaborate on that?
Yeah. There is a brilliant research done by Yuri Nikolov, at the Moscow Psychiatric Institute, and he basically had incurable schizophrenics. He fasted them, okay, and 65% of them were cured, completely cured. They only relapsed when they ate meat, and that was because there's a certain protein in the meat that those people could not metabolize, and the result is that it inflamed the brain. And so that's why, and I think it holds across the board here. And when people go on a kind of more vegetarian diet, there's less stress on the nervous system in terms of its healing the brain.
Well, they do have that glow. The vegans and to a slightly lesser degree, the vegetarians do have that healthy glow. Their eyes are clear and bright, and their skin looks great.
Yeah, and the key thing, it works. You know, at the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center, we see a range of people, and we take them off their medication, and there's some repair work it has to do, because when you've made that, the brain has downgraded itself in order to adjust to the medication, it takes a while to undo it. So we add this whole program, and we use the vegan and live food diet. They really improve very dramatically, and sometimes in just a few weeks, to get off the medication, start improving the brain. It takes somewhere between a few weeks to 2 years, depending on the person's original genetic makeup, to upgrade the gene function, so they may not even need the their body is functioning again, and all their mental problems disappear. That's the beauty of it. It just simply better living through better living, rather than the attempt at better living through chemistry.
And give us your web. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hate to cut you off, but that's okay. What we do. You know.
Yeah.
Give us your website and your phone numbers very quickly one more time. Get ready out there.
Okay. The website is www.treeoflife.nu, and the two key phone numbers are 866-394-2520, and particularly to get the Natural Cellular Defense is 888-314-7982. The book, Depression Free for Life, and also Conscious Eating, outline the whole theory that we're talking about. We can undo this. We can repair the biologically older brain so we can live normal, healthy, and happy, and turned on lives. And that's what's so exciting about the work we're doing at the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center.
Thank you for what you do. And do come again to the Global Living Room. Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Next hour, Dr. Bruce Lipton on Coast to Coast AM.